I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
One of my friends, we would play family a lot. And yeah. Family just meant take your shirts off, kiss each other's boobies.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's what moms and dads do.
Wow. See, only, family, only what a my game. Barbies did that.
I still love
it. I dared.
Still love playing family.
I might play family later. That sounds like a good time.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that is here to usher you into what's shaping up to be the golden age of queer comedy. I am Carolyn Bergier.
And I'm Melody Kamali of Masturbation Episode Fame.
That's going to stick with you forever.
I welcome it, and I would gladly come back and do a squirting episode.
I'm going to get so many emails demanding a squirting episode.
Let's
now.
Let's do it.
There were messages specifically about the squirting. And today we are decking out with comedian Allie Clayton about Femme for Femme. Allie is a stand-up comedian and performer who you may have seen on the series Funny How on Vice. And after spending 8 years on the scene in Chicago, she's now based out of New York City. Lucky for us. Anything you want to add, Melody?
Yeah, Carolyn, I think you left out one of her biggest accomplishments to date. About 3.5 years ago, she landed this awesome credit, and that is me as a girlfriend. She's my girlfriend, you guys.
So cute.
Let's dyke out, baby.
Am I good to talk?
You're good to talk.
Oh, yeah,
you're allowed
to
talk.
What did I do 3.5 years ago?
You're like, did I squirt?
Stand-up NBC was not 3.5 years. Like, I'm like, what was it?
No, honey. You peaked. You got me.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I've been looking forward to this all week. As some of you also know, I got to meet Allie officially while on our pilgrimage to New Jersey, stalking Robin Crawford. So,
and we got to hang out in my mom's Dodge Caravan.
And we did get to hang out in your mom's Dodge Caravan that had
drove you home while you sat on a mattress.
That had no back seats and just had a mattress. And I thought that's how it always was and just pictured that's how you tour, which was not the case. But we did record an L Word recap episode for all of our patrons that took place in that van. And you can listen to it.
That's how me and Melly spice it up. We just jump in the van every now and then.
You know, I don't think that's the worst thing. I think that's great in New York. There are way worse ways to spice things up in the city than jumping in a van with a mattress.
That Dodge Caravan is bigger than countless apartments I've been in New York. So
plus the mattress was covered with plastic. So if we go back to squirting, I really thought that was definitely where you guys were fucking.
That makes the most sense.
No,
I
doubt
gave
in my
that
mind.
Mattress to my niece.
I hope she's listening. Okay, a couple quick announcements. Our next show at Stonewall is Monday, February 24th, featuring some of my favorite comedians, including Carrie Caudette and Anna Dresden, who writes for SNL and is not gay, but that's our loss. I wish she was. She's great. She's the funniest person.
Oh, man.
Can't wait to have her on the show. I know. I didn't want rumors to spread of any of you Anna Dresden stands out there because she is hilarious and would make a fine, fine queer woman.
Yes.
But, you know, some of them have to be straight.
She's got the apparently. Bangs.
She's got the bangs.
Too bad.
Yes. The bangs and the feminism, and mm-hmm. that's a dangerous combination to be walking around the city in. We also have new merch on our website. So if you want to let everybody know that you're diking out, go to dikingout.com/merch. It's a black fabric so that you can wear it on all occasions, dates, interviews, funerals. Make a statement they will never forget.
Mm.
Or that diking out
I'll
merch.
Go get one. I love a t-shirt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just in general.
Got t-shirts.
No, we argue a lot about the amount of t-shirts.
She has.
Yeah?
Too many. She's held on to every free t-shirt she's gotten in her life to the point where she broke a drawer that contained all
that drawer's from Walmart, and I think it was their fault.
But yeah, we'll buy a Justice for Jenny Schechter shirt. I'll take one
please
of those, please.
Do. I think we've only sold one.
There is a small group of
and
us that
me.
Want that.
Yeah.
I do want that.
Justice, I mean, for Jenny Schechter. Yeah. Want
yes.
that.
I can't wait to whip it out for the L Word Gen Q finale, which when we release this will have already happened. Mm. But now that we're at the end of it, you know, I've tried not to talk about it specifically on episodes of this because I know not everybody watches it. But let's talk about the Sunday night lineup on Showtime. A Tale of Two Queer Shows, Generation Q and Work in Progress. One full of flaws. It can't help itself. The other one, may I say, flawless?
Flawless. Totally flawless.
And that's not just because you are both Chicago comics.
I was just going to say, Allie and I started comedy in Chicago, so we were used to seeing Abby around and just, you know, the funniest, the sweetest, the quiet, just like her character, just quiet and would get on stage and just have the funniest scenes and then just kind of duck out. That's how I was used to seeing her.
Yeah. I have a web series called Swiping. It's all about, you know, the Tinder and stuff.
Sure.
The Tinder. That's what they call it, right? But Abby did not end up being in it, but we did meet and was going to be in it. And the person, the director and producer I was working with, had taken us to a place where we didn't have the right to film there. And then, like, they said something to us, but wanted us to continue to, like, try. And Abby was so uncomfortable. I don't think she hates anyone. She's such a nice and lovely person. But I'm like, oh, God, I'm not like in her head as like a good memory. And I'm such a fan.
You just like took her out of her comfort zone.
Yeah. We're like, hey, will you come to this garden? We're not allowed to be here.
Yeah. She seems like someone who loves being out of her comfort zone.
No.
Oh, man. Did you see her Colbert interview?
I didn't.
Look that up. Everybody, look that up. Well, I don't want to spoil it, actually. You should watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, but leaving it's just, me in suspense.
It's just, I don't know, heartwarming. It's like, it's not like any desk interview you've ever seen on a late night show, because she is truly, like, genuinely herself and can't put on that, like, here's a fun story with lots of twists and turns for you, aren't
yeah.
I? Like, she's just very much squirming in her seat and being very adorable and, like, making weird voices and mm-hmm. gestures. And it's very endearing.
Yeah. So being in Chicago, do you also run into Julia Sweeney?
No.
No, that's not a thing.
No, okay. No well, Weird Al, no Julia Sweeney.
Yeah, the Weird Al was, so in the show, Abby's character, Abby, which seems to be based on real life, mm-hmm. and her life was ruined by Julia Sweeney, who was this SNL actress who played a character named Pat, and the whole joke was like, is it a man? Is it a woman? Hilarity ensues, because those were the times.
Right.
And then they get into it on the first episode about how that was problematic and talking about it with a trans man. And it's amazing and an incredible pilot. And then the reveal, like Julia Sweeney, they meet her, have her over for dinner. And I didn't know she's married to Weird Al.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is this guy so familiar? And then they're like, oh, my God, are you Weird Al? I'm like, oh, my God, that is Weird Al.
She talks about in the Colbert interview how that came to be, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Julia Sweeney is not actually married to Weird Al.
Oh,
not right. No, I thought so, too. I immediately Googled it, but that was just built into the show.
Get out. Oh, my God. I didn't even Google it because I'm like, this is too random not to be true.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, not Jory.
That is so funny.
They just because, thought it'd be funny to add another famous name to it and have him be like completely regular. And
regular out.
Just a last minute addition.
That was very fun. I introduced Cecilia to Weird Al this year because I was like, you've never heard of Weird Al? And she's like, no, I grew up in Peru. We weren't watching Weird Al. I'm like, oh, man.
Shocking.
I know. I know. I had to introduce her to Weird Al and Tom Green, two white men with questionable comedic sensibilities that I used to love.
Yeah, that immediately popped into my head, too.
Which one?
The Bum song.
My Bum is on
the Oh, yeah, Bum Bum song. Of course. That's... was my favorite song for at least a year.
Yeah.
That was where my humor was. I was thinking about Tom Green today.
Really?
Yeah.
Road trip.
I don't even think I saw Road Trip, but just seeing like how your sense of humor changes over time. Because if now I were like in a scenario where a Tom Green, like now you can look around the comedy community and be like, oh, I know some Tom Greens. And if they tried to like fuck up my shit while I was trying to go about my day, I would murder them. I would push them in front of a city bus and murder them. But back then I was like, this is the height of comedy and nothing is funnier than
this
Tom
is
Green.
Comedy. Also, was he in Charlie's Angels? Was he?
Yes.
Yeah. The Chad?
The Chad.
Okay. Yeah.
He was the Chad because he was married briefly or maybe just engaged to
Drew Barrymore.
Right. And I had a huge crush on Drew Barrymore.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's I just associate him only as the Chad because I watched that so many times. I mean, crushes on all of them.
Yes.
That was a sexy movie for me.
Drew Barrymore is the only lisp I've ever that got me wet, you know?
I'm trying to think of other lisps. Are there?
What lisps makes you wet?
There's probably a list.
A lisp.
I used to have a lisp when I was young, and it got me wet all the time just because I was spitting on everything. Get it? Oh, my God. Anyway, so Work in Progress is great. Gen Q is, you know, I'm going to keep watching it. But
yeah, it's our duty to keep watching it. But I think this season or this Gen Q is like radically boring. I feel like that's what's radical about it. Like, it was so crazy that now they're like, we're going to do something really crazy with the show and just make it normal. Like, oh my God, work politics.
Well,
like,
they're at the finale and I'm like, shit's just happening.
Also, eight
like,
episodes? No way. So, Elwood's set up for 22 episode seasons. It's a soap opera.
They got renewed for 12, I think. Here's the thing. They have more storylines than they do characters at this point. And it's really crazy, or no, more storylines than they have episodes. So they have about 8 or 9 storylines at any given point. Like, no wonder they cut Micah out of one entire episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to do too much. So none of them are developed. So unless you have like a very straightforward storyline like Angie of like, I have a crush on this girl and now I'm gonna tell her, okay, I told her,
that was the huge
and
arc.
Wraps it like
that.
That's all you can do.
Angie and Finley are the only new characters that have kind of a real like fleshed out perspective. I don't know, yeah. Or character, some kind of character development, like Finley with the, I liked the priest stuff.
Yeah.
But the others.
But the priest stuff, it felt like so fast. It happened like over two episodes.
I know.
Right?
I really wish
she was like,
it
I loved
continued.
Her. I'm like, we've two only episodes? Seen you have one date. We didn't see any time for this to build. So I don't care that it didn't work out because you haven't built up any relationship like Danny and Sophie. Nothing but fighting.
Yeah,
since the beginning.
I can't stand
so nobody's.
Danny.
I tried, but she is the worst.
Yeah,
she's probably yeah.
Yeah, I hope her and Finley.
Not just the character. I feel bad to be mean, but she's not a very good actor.
Allie feels bad criticizing this character because in real life, she's half Iranian and I am full-blownsies. And Allie feels
but
like
I,
she's
I
offending
like the
me.
I like the other Iranian character a lot, and she's the one that speaks Farsis.
Yeah. What I do love that they finally...
Gigi is the best new character.
Gigi is the best new character, but she's not even included on their... promos as one of the new characters. She's not in the cast photos.
I mean, Nat is considered, her, Gigi and Nat are considered guest stars.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. So that we know where that's going. But
I like
I am loving the three-way sex scene.
Yeah, I think we all agree that any sex scenes involving Gigi are great. You don't like it?
She is very much attracted to Gigi.
I'm very much attracted to Gigi, but I think it made me feel so terrified that Melody was going to ask me for a threesome.
It can be triggering.
And I don't want to have one.
Because I got very aroused during that scene. And Allie just looked more and more terrified.
Yeah. I could see my wife getting hornier by the second.
Yeah.
When that was on, I was like, uh-oh.
Because, I host a watch party, too. So I was just watching it at the vault. And then I did have to run home. And you guessed it, masturbate. I am the masturbation expert. and then I watched it again with Allie, and it was as if I was watching it for the first time. Like, I just couldn't help it. And I was like, oh my God, here he comes.
No. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, I'm enough. Yeah, I'm enough. I'm definitely enough, right?
Yeah,
I'm enough.
I was telling Cecilia that whole storyline reminds me of something. It's like a rookie mistake for Alice, because it's something I would have done when I was like 20. Got into a relationship when I was 19. I got into a relationship with someone who definitely wasn't over their ex. I thought I can help them get over their ex, or I'll be the one to change. But I was still so new and insecure, and thought that this was the best I could do for myself at the time. That had I been more attracted to her ex-girlfriend and she had suggested a threesome, I would have totally been like, well, if it makes you happy, and gone for it. And it would have been a disaster emotionally in every which way. I see how somebody could do that at Alice's age.
No.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Alice has been to too many rodeos. She went through everything with Tasha. You know better.
Do you think they just needed to have that element of queer life in the show? And
yeah, I feel like there are so many other ways they could have done.
It would have made
with
sense.
Sure, that would have made sense. But a throuple with XY, that was just weird soap opera, wanting to have a throuple scene, which again, I appreciate, but.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. I think I'm obsessed with Gigi, so maybe that's why it's my favorite storyline.
Generation Gigi.
You just want to fuck yourself.
I really like that hot Persian lesbian.
I was talking to another Persian lesbian.
What?
This week. Yeah.
Was she a comedian?
There are more. No.
Okay, because otherwise
she's
DJ. Has to die. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But was also very excited by Gigi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear so much Farsi in the show just in the background that only Persians really can pick up on it and know. It's just so appreciated and would have been life-changing if I had heard that on the original L Word,
that
imagine? Kind of representation. Absolutely not. I'm so jealous of all the young, furry Persian lesbians out there. But happy for them.
Garbunat Baram, baby.
Okay. She just tried to say...
Sorry, Garbunat Baram.
That's Garbunat Baram, and that's just
I've been practicing it for 3.5 years.
I die for you, I love you.
That's so cute, especially in your accent, which... Yeah. Where's it from? I can't really peg it.
Where I'm from?
Yeah.
Australia. Yeah. Just kidding. No. North Carolina.
Cool, cool, cool. We have a lot of Southern seasons in the mix.
Yes.
So veering from Generation Q, because I mentioned Tasha, who's played by Rose Rollins,
yes,
who was in another lesbian, a movie, not a show, a movie mm-hmm. that I watched for the first time this week. And I have to talk about this because I'm sure some of our listeners have seen this. I can't believe I waited so long to see this. I can't believe we haven't really talked about it, I don't think, on this podcast before. But Girl Trash All Night Long is a campy lesbian musical movie based on a web series that premiered on ourchart.com. The web series is very weird.
It's
very
so
experimental,
weird.
Shot in black and white, but Rose Rollins is in it.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, too. Very problematic because her character and her character's friends are the only black people. And there's like no other. It's like all white people. Rose Rollins and her two friends. And she's like just gotten out of prison.
Right.
And she's like a thug walking around with like a golf club threatening to beat up these
She's wearing trenches. She's wearing sunglasses yeah. in every scene. And she's just shooting guns.
Yeah. She's like badass. But she's... It's definitely problematic. Aside from that, if you can just place that in your pocket for a second, it is a very enjoyable movie. The rest of
it, I can't wait to
watch.
Now that I know that there's like its musical aspect, I am in.
Yeah, it's good because it's like those kind of like poppy punk songs musical, and the lyrics are hilarious because it knows what it is. So it's like having a lot of fun with itself. And if you watch the show South of Nowhere, then you've probably definitely seen this, but it stars the couple from South of Nowhere, known to most people as Spashley. And yeah, my neighbors have been telling us, you need to watch this, you need to watch this. And I thought, oh, it's going to be a bad lesbian movie, but I'm up for it. I'm like, this is actually a really fun, enjoyable movie, and would watch it again anytime. Yeah.
I love that you have a relationship with your neighbors.
I do. 2020 is the year of neighbors. I mean, I started last year, but now we're definitely like inviting people over to
How
our apartment
do you meet
regularly.
Them?
These neighbors I met at my wife's Christmas party, and then I was walking home from work one day and I looked behind me and she was there, and I'm like, hey, didn't we meet at the work party? And she's like, yeah, I live right up the street. And then they started coming to the Stonewall shows that we do.
Oh.
Because at the first Stonewall show, Jill Sobule was playing. And she was like, hey, I'm friends with Jill. And I saw the show sold out. Like, does Jill have any guest tickets that I could come? And I'm like, you're friends with Jill? This is all so weird.
Yeah.
And then they're friends with like other lesbians in the neighborhood. There's a bunch of lesbians in this neighborhood that we're all like meeting and connecting with and trying to build friendships with. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to move to this neighborhood because the first time I recorded with you here, I was looking for an apartment, and the way you pitched it, you're like, there's a lot of lesbians in the neighborhood that, and we all hang out.
Yeah.
I was like, Allie, change of plans. We are not living in Brooklyn anymore.
We would like some more lesbian friends, and I have a Dodge Caravan, so I can drive everyone up there.
The seats are back up. The mattress is out.
Yeah. Yeah, round us up. That Dodge Caravan is a selling point.
Yeah.
We'll all go and watch tennis in Queens together. When the weather gets good. So my neighbor Pearl Rain ended
what a
up
sexy name.
Yeah, well, she's an actress, so it works in her in yeah. her favor. And she played piano at the Joe's Pub show at Dyke the Halls and was our pianist, and happens to be my next door neighbor, happens to be like a talented Broadway musician slash actress.
Wow.
And then my other neighbor on the other side, who came to the show to support me, which is so nice, also let me borrow her hand mixer the other day. And she's like, that's what neighbors are for. Because I was going to go out and buy one. And Cecilia's like, why don't you ask the next door neighbor? And some of you listeners are like, this is insane. Like, why are you guys talking about neighbors like it's such a big deal? You don't
New
know.
York.
It is rough out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of places you live, people don't want to talk to you. Well,
I was having a panic attack about doing the laundry on a weekend because
I was like,
we need to use more than one washer. We can't do it. And Melody's like, why? And I was like, they're going to be so mean to me.
Allie was like, I don't think we can do laundry today. Why? Because it's Sunday and that's when other people do it and I don't want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
I will say New York is actually friendlier than other cities. Like when I lived in Atlanta, I tried to be friends with my neighbors and they looked at me like I had an extra eye on my forehead. They're like, why are you talking to me? And I'm like, what about this like Southern?
Yeah, we got that in the Midwest.
You have the opposite experience?
With what?
Like the South, did you think people were more neighborly? That's because they're nosy. And that's in the suburbs. In the city, in Atlanta, I feel like people aren't friendly.
Yeah, my parents moved to South Carolina. At first, we're like, wow, everyone's so friendly. They're like, no, they're actually actively investigating us.
Yeah.
Like, who are these brown people who moved in? What is their deal?
My great aunt Lorraine used to sweep her porch all day long. And we're like... But it's because she just wanted to know everything happening, what was going on. It's like,
is that a euphemism for masturbating?
Yeah.
Sweeping the
Aunt
porch.
Aunt Lorraine used to sweep her porch.
It is now.
Because I like it. Yeah. Well, you're ours now.
Yeah. Accent won't go, but she's been out of the South a long time.
Yeah.
I went from North Carolina to Louisville, Kentucky. I lived there for a year, and then I moved to Chicago, and then 8 years, and then here. And I think that transition from going to, like, still very Southern to Midwest, still very friendly, like, I don't think I would have survived if I would have came straight here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting dichotomy where I feel like here people are more willing to talk to strangers, but also willing to walk over people who might be dead.
You right, know?
Yeah.
That's a big part of living in.
Yeah, or like seeing someone just like in a pool of their own bodily fluids on the sidewalk and being like, oh, I'm not going to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And
just explain to homeless people why I couldn't give them money. Like in Chicago, like, they'd be like, no, well, but I'd be like, I have to go get a sandwich right now. And I just don't quite have enough to be able.
Allie like, talks to catcallers too, though. Like she can't just keep it moving on.
Well,
the
one
sidewalk.
Of that thing is because I have a lot of white guilt, and yeah. I feel like I have so much white guilt. I'm like, I'm in your neighborhood. Do what you want.
In Brooklyn, Allie will just stop. Like, hey, girl, can I get your number? No, I have a girlfriend. Oh, well, I could get down with that. I don't think she'd like that. Just a real back and forth.
Well, I think that that will take us into our topic of femme for femme, because one big thing about being femme for femme is that you're fetishized by men.
Yes.
A lot more, or that's what men imagine. If they see a more feminine woman who's gay, they assume, wrongly so, that they're also with a feminine woman.
Right.
Because usually... I mean, I guess not usually. I don't know. What's the breakdown of the like femme mask, femme community?
I feel like people on the outside assume maybe, or like skeezy men assume it's femme more often than
it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I got into, when I was starting to realize that I was queer and like coming out, I was like, what am I then? Because I need to figure out how to like which polar opposite to go to. Like I was still in that like binary, like, am I femme? That means I have to find someone a little mask. But I was also, I'm attracted to femme and mask across the board. So, and I still haven't really figured out a type, but I feel like there's some kind of, No, I take it back. I'm like thinking back on all the lesbian shows I've done lately, and I've seen a lot of couples that are like too kind of mask or too femme. I don't know. We're in Brooklyn in 2020, so it's just like,
in all shapes and sizes.
You guys tell us.
I guess when I was single and trying to pick up femme women and then seeing them go for more mask peoples, I was like, oh. I'm one of a kind.
Yeah. And I would also switch back and forth like throughout my 20s. Like I did have like this boyish kind of phase. And then I remember feeling more comfortable going after more femme girls than I did when I was more femme presenting.
Yeah.
Like it just, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just within me and my confidence.
Like, yeah.
I had my first like lesbian sexual experience in 2009, but I didn't really start like putting myself out there until like 2012. Me and my best friend Patrice, who is also queer, we had that year, we even made t-shirts. It was 2012, don't hold back. So we started going to all these lesbian bars and to the dance nights, and me and Patrice are both femme, and everyone thought I was, it seemed like a lot of times they just thought I was there as somebody else's friend.
Okay.
I felt like I had to like literally go up and be like, I did actually walk up to a few people and I was like, I'm here to meet ladies. Like,
yeah.
Well, because, and listeners, you'll look her up and see she has got big blonde hair. She grew up in the pageant world, very femme.
Let's
presenting
talk about
early's
that.
Back then,
yeah,
too.
Let's rewind the tapes to
I
pageant
was a
world.
Hot, hot kid.
How did that affect, like, your understanding of who you were and, like, mm-hmm. who you were attracted to? Because that's, like, a whole, that's a lot being put on a kid.
I think a lot of people, you know, think negatively about pageants and stuff. But for me, it was actually a good experience. For me,
because you won all the time?
Not until I got my pageant coach, Susan King, of Susan's Pageantry Connection in Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Is she gay?
No.
Okay.
She's not a gay Susan.
Not a gay Susan. Okay.
But really, you didn't win, Allie? Because we have a lot of crowns.
I didn't
at home.
First. I did pageants from 8 to 18. It took me a while to get good.
Wow.
I took a small break when I went to Native American rehab for a year and a half. But, you know.
Wait.
Allie was one of...
There's so much that we need to dive yeah. into here that
this
has nothing
to, be
to do with Femme for Femme. And that is fine because this is... going places. Okay. What is Native American rehab?
It's called Peninsula Village.
It's like a scared straight
yeah,
program in
I
the woods.
I was a very like depressed, unruly teen, drinking a lot. I mean, this isn't cheery. Sorry. I was like raped when I was 13 and like was having yeah. anybody that was like, you're pretty. I was like, you can have sex with me.
Yeah.
And then I tried to kill myself when I was 15. Then instead of my parents actually dealing with me, they were like, we'll just ship you off to the woods of Tennessee. You can learn about the medicine wheel. And
what? Why did they pick that place?
I mean, well, I was in a psych ward for like 2 weeks and the okay. doctor did say that he felt that I needed inpatient treatment, that he thought that
yeah.
if I didn't get it, that he thought I'd be dead in the next year.
Yeah.
And my first 3 months there, I was in a lockdown unit, so I didn't go outside for 3 months.
Okay.
In the woods?
Wow.
Or at the
near
site?
The woods. At the edge of the woods oh. was the lockdown unit. And then once I became a member of the Frog Clan, I went to the cabin in the woods.
Okay. I'm only laughing at Melody's concern with the proximity to the woods. But that's just so you know what stage in the treatment
yeah.
she's talking about. So yeah. this is all fine and normal.
Yeah.
This is great. No, thank you.
As soon as I became a mouse, I went to the woods.
I want everyone to know I'm not laughing about the fact that Allie tried to kill herself and needed to
That's
be
what they're
in
all
lockdown.
Thinking, Melody. They know you're just masturbating and thinking about that.
Speaking of masturbation, I got caught masturbating in the woods a lot.
I'm
sorry. Out in the woods or in an outhouse or
in the cabin in the woods where
okay.
there was no electricity, no heat.
And the cabin's fun. When you first said that, not that I was trying to picture you masturbate, but I was just thinking like, yeah. like
by a tree.
About, really. I was like masturbating by a tree or being like one of those bears that just like yeah. rubs up against the tree because it feels good on the fur, you know?
Just flipped.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of crushes at that time. They were like, you can't work with this staff because you're obsessed with her and things like that. But I didn't know that it was... like, oh, well, I'm in love with her.
Yeah, sure.
But even like with other girls in my clan, I would like with there were like girls that were being released or been going home. I mean, I would just like, I don't know how I'm going to live without them here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I could see how that would be.
And trust me,
confusing.
None of us were looking too femme in the woods. You should have seen us on swimming pool day. Oh my God. Because we couldn't have razors because we might cut ourselves. Sorry if that's triggering.
Trigger warning.
Man, just the amount of bush in that swimming pool. We'd play volleyball and it was just like, wow, this is a lot of pit hair.
That's amazing. I wouldn't think about that. But
yeah, actually, it sounds kind of hot.
Yeah, it sounds very freeing. And liberating, but I imagine other things were going on in your mind then. I see how that would be very confusing in terms of like how you're relating people to people when you're going through that, because it's like a very transformative
yeah.
time in your life. So how long did it take until you realized that maybe those feelings were more like queer feelings than...
I think I started, now that I look back there, I mean, obviously I think anybody has it where you're like, should I just say it? Me and my cousin used to give each other back rubs and I always would kind of hope she would kiss me. This is not giving a good rap to the South.
Yeah, on brand.
Saying it with that accent is the perfect story. It really...
But, you know, like, really there were lots of things like that. Sure. Or, like, I remember one of my friends that we would play family a lot. And
yeah.
Family just meant take your shirts off, kiss each other's boobies.
Whoa! Yeah.
That's what moms and dads do.
Wow. See, only, family, only what a my game. Barbies did that.
I still,
right,
love,
I dare
still love playing family.
Obsessed.
I might play family later. That sounds like a good time.
Well, I told her we were on the train and I whispered in her ear, I plugged the dildo in. So might, we might play whisper. Family.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Sorry, what was your question?
Allie, she just wants to know how you started to realize these were romantic feelings. Not just like...
Well, I think really not until college. I didn't know that there was such things as a feminine lesbian.
Yes.
I didn't know any lesbians.
Same, actually, growing up.
Yeah. I just knew Ellen and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I'm neither of them.
Yeah.
So, like, I whatever I am, I can't be that.
Same. So, yeah, we're three femme lesbians here, and I had the exact same
ladies.
Experience. The same experience of, like, the only real life in person lesbian I met was somebody who was like, I think they were either in the military or they wore a lot of camouflage. I obviously don't, or like, I can't remember, but I remember that there was this teenager who was older than me, who was like a family friend of a friend, who had like the undershave.
Oh, some undercuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hot.
And was just like very butch.
Yeah.
And I don't even think, like, she never said she was a lesbian, but then my friend was like, oh, yeah, we're pretty sure she's a lesbian. And I'm like, oh, that's what a lesbian, that's what one of those is. And then it wasn't till, like, the first crush I had that made me realize I was gay was the first time I met a out feminine lesbian. And like, I almost passed out. I was like, what? And, like, my palms started sweating, my stomach dropped, because I had no idea that that was possible. And then once I knew it was possible, I'm like, whoa.
L word was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I lived in college. I lived in a trailer with a man and our dog, one snake and his daughter. I'm sorry. And the only reason I kept my off-campus apartment was because once a week I would go to the apartment and I would masturbate to the L word.
Yes.
Once a week I would come.
And then from the snake.
Away from the snake. Yeah, I hated
all
that
the snakes.
Snake.
All the snakes. I know, I was trying to figure out if snake was.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was a snake. Like a real snake. Okay. You know, when the L word came out, I think a lot of us criticized. I mean, I didn't at first because I was femme for femme and I was really into it. But it was like all these feminine lesbians in LA. And for me, I was like, oh, there's more of us. They exist. They're somewhere and they're all in West Hollywood. And that's where I need to live when I'm older, because that's the only way I'll find the feminine lesbians.
That's where I wanted to live.
Yeah.
I took it all as truth. I grew up only knowing butch lesbians, too. It didn't happened until I went to college, and my roommates, we all decided to get the like extra Showtime added to our cable package, and that's how I started binging the L word. But my best friend's mom growing up was and is a lesbian, and it was two butch women. So like, even my real life, like, I see them every day example was just the most butch.
Yeah.
And I remember her actually driving us to lacrosse practice once and just out of nowhere be like, so Melody, are you gay? that just popped in my head. Oh, shout out to Sari. And then it was scary. Like, she was calling me out, and I was like, well, I'm not like you.
Yeah.
So I was still confused, but it really took watching the L word, which is so lame. But that's all we had.
Yeah, because like real world, like, you could only tell people women were gay if they were butch. And that was like the only way to know. And then being femme, you feel like a little bit invisible in the community sometimes. And when you're talking about like going out to gay bars, I felt the same way too, where I was like, nobody's coming up to me. So either I'm like just nobody's type here and very unattractive, or everybody thinks I'm straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those two. Why won't people hit on me?
Yep.
Yeah.
I went through that too. And then I got undercuts. And I have thin hair. No.
Okay.
I was going through a breakup and I was starting to go out to lesbian bars, and this like mecca of hot lesbians in Chicago, if you're out there, Slow Mo Dance Party.
Big Chicks.
Or Beauty Bar. Okay, anyways. I just remember everyone had a look that I wanted, and I was like, well, clearly I'm not getting approached because I don't have an interesting haircut, and I have thin hair. There's no reason for me to get undercuts. So I shaved half my hair off, and I'm still working on growing it back. It's so long ago. It just looked weird. I dyed it purple, and I had undercuts, and it was strange.
Yeah, I do. There's like a part of me that like yearns, because it's such a big part of who I am, and I'm so proud to be a lesbian. Like, there's part of me that wishes that when a stranger saw me on the street, they saw that about me.
Yeah.
I remember I was...
So you do need Dyking Out merch.
Yes, I do. Okay.
No, Allie wears so much rainbow paraphernalia.
My parents, everybody in my family buys me rainbow stuff.
And me.
And Melody.
I have stand-up jokes about it. Yeah. They overcompensate by giving us rainbow things.
Rainbow sheep of the family shirt.
Did that, not to go too off topic, but did that get into your, like, infiltrate your pageant stuff at all? Like, decisions you made that now looking back, you're like, oh, yeah, my talent was installing a shelf. Or
No. Okay. My talent was singing.
Yes, well,
Carolyn. So fast.
You're just full of so many talents. I thought maybe.
She does, but
I am very good at it's all on a shelf now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with living in the woods.
Yeah, actually, Allie's just very femme looking, but the most butch around the house, like loves her toolbox and everything.
How long were you in the woods?
I was in the woods for 10 months.
Okay.
But I was there for 13 months total.
Is this where you were for September 11th? I know this off. Allie didn't know September 11th happened.
I had no idea September 11th happened until days after.
Is this in your stand-up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Maybe I should put it in there.
You know, people get touchy about if you talk about 9/11 in your stand-up.
I feel like in this accent.
But I feel like this is...
Yeah. This is a unique take.
I remember we were circled up. So in the lockdown unit, it was just one big room with beds all in it. And then all day you sat on your bed. And then three times a day you came to a circle for group therapy. And it was like days after it had happened. And they like had to tell us about it. I mean, I still not until I left. Maybe not until years after I saw any footage about it.
Crazy.
Because, and I just remember, this is so horrible, but I was sitting there and they were explaining about the towers. And I just like raised my hand. I was like, does this mean we're getting out? It didn't.
Is
mean
war
that.
Happening here now?
Or, are they on the way to Tennessee? Jonesboro? No. Are they coming to Jonesboro, Tennessee? Are we going home?
Sorry, that was off topic, but I just always bring, I think that's so crazy. Because every time we talk about 9/11, you can just see there's like kind of this blind spot.
Everybody's like, you know, I remember when they rolled the TV into my classroom I remember where I was sitting and I'm like,
You're like, I didn't know what day it was, what time it was.
Wow. I was either reading about the medicine wheel or chemical dependency worksheet.
Did you get like regular school during this time too? Or was it all like working on yourself?
No, you had regular school, but like there was like a teacher there. In the lockdown unit. And then when I went to the cabins, you had vocational work, like during the weekends and then 2 days of the week, which meant like I was just cutting some logs. I'm really good cross cutter. And and like that was when I was 15. Who knows? I'm 33 now. I ain't cross cutting anything.
Kind of butch.
I'm really great at that. Mauling wood. Yeah, that's me.
I think we need to hop in the Dodge Caravan and go to a place and test out your cross cutting skills.
Yeah. We are the Frog Clan. We are the Frog Clan. You'd sing it. But
that's not the song you did in the pageant, right?
No, but you want to know what one of them was?
Yes,
which
please.
Is so horrible. Miss Seeley's Blues from The Color Purple.
Oh.
Yeah. That's controversial.
Yeah.
Do we have that tape?
I think I do have it on VHS.
We have all her pageants on VHS at the apartment.
But I didn't choose that tape. Mama would choose tapes for me, and then I would listen to songs, and I would get to choose. Okay, I was like 11.
Sure.
So I wasn't like, this is offensive. I was just like, I love this jazz tune.
Yeah. I mean, my high school, well, I think I was in middle school when our high school put on a very white production of The Wiz. So,
We
were one of those.
I thought it was bad that we sang I Believe I Can Fly, but we didn't really know that what we were doing was tainted.
Yeah.
But my first pageant ever, my mom's best friend, Woody, who was like, the only gay person I knew.
Yeah.
Did my hair and makeup, and I literally looked like a drag queen. And I wanted to sing, but they told me I couldn't sing, that I had to lip sing.
So you were a drag queen.
Because Woody said, that's all I can coach. Because Mom and Woody would dress up. Mom would dress up as Cher, and Woody would do drag in our living room at these like huge parties my parents would have on the weekends.
Wait, your mom would be Cher?
Yeah.
And then Woody would be drag as what? Cher
sexy Madonna,
also?
Sexy okay, Barbara Streisand.
Great.
You name it, he could do it.
Great.
So they chose for a song for me, Fancy Don't Let Me Down by Reba McEntire. And if you have ever listened to the song, you would know that it is about a mother that convinces her daughter to become a prostitute to save the family. So I look like an 8-year-old drag queen. And I was just singing about prostitution, lip singing about prostitution. We didn't win that one.
Oh my God. These are all like scenes from like a Christopher Guest movie. Like,
yeah, there's a lot.
That's so funny. That reminded me of when I was in high school and we were like promoting this fundraiser we were doing that was, you know, a playoff of MTV's Say What Karaoke. So I convinced my friend to sing part of the song she was going to do over the announcements. And it was that song where the lyrics are, what would you do if your son was at home crying alone on the bedroom floor?
City High.
Yeah, he's hungry. The only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Because daddy's gone. So she sang those lyrics and then like all the teachers were like, huh? And then they... And my friend like got in trouble and they're like, you cannot sing that song at this fundraiser. And then we're like, Carolyn, what were you thinking having her sing that on morning announcements?
On the morning announcements.
But you never
today for lunch, we're going to have meatloaf and what would you do?
That song was beautiful. I loved that song.
It was a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful story. Clarence High School is just not ready for it, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about my pageant experiences that I feel like it was different from others was because I got diagnosed with dyslexia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. So in third grade, I was reading below a kindergarten level.
Okay.
So I had horrible self-esteem. I tried every sport. I failed. Like everything that I tried to do, I failed. I had no self-esteem. And then mama signed me up for a pageant. And it's not that I loved the teasing of the hair. I mean, teasing your hair and gluing your swimsuit to your butt, it hurts. I didn't like that part. But I liked being on a stage.
Yes.
And I think that that is where I got my love for performing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, pageants and kids in pageants, obviously.
Some of them little bitches were mean.
Yeah. Like, well, I'll be on that.
Do you have crushes on them? Femmes?
Well, there's...
Femmes for femmes. That trying is to bring it
back
about.
To the top.
Thanks, Melody.
There is one girl from pageants, Brittany Cruz, who I think now actually is a pageant coach. Like, that's what she does for... Okay, I know because I look her up sometimes. But...
She's no Susan.
No Susan. But she was so good, but she was so mean to me. Like, we would, like, she would beat me and we'd be leaving. I'd be like, well, I think I'll see you in 2 weeks at, you know, Little Miss Rocky Mount. See you later, Brittany. And then she'd just be like, ugh, and like, wouldn't acknowledge me. And my mom would always be like, why do you always try to talk to her? Stop it. She's mean. She's a little bitch. My mom be like, she's a little bitch. Leave. Don't talk to her. And I'm like, but I don't really want to be your friend. Like, I think
that
was
a crush.
You wanted to play a little house.
Yeah, I wanted, let's play family.
Oh, that was it. Emily, right. You know how families do.
So then once you were out, so is Melody like the first femme that you've been in a relationship with?
I dated one girl for a while that was femme.
Yeah.
Is this the one who was, like, in the closet?
No, that person was...
Look at Melody keeping Allie honest here.
I had... when I first came out, I came out as bi. Sure. I've had lots of drunken sex with men. And there was a good friend of mine that we used to get drunk and sleep together. And he had this gorgeous girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the year 2012, and they approached me.
This is someone I know.
You're
too
wearing your t-shirt.
So. My friend Patrice was there, and they came up to me and were like, do you want to have a threesome? And I was like, give me one sec. And I went and talked to my friend Patrice, and she was like, I don't think I'm going to. And she just looked at me and goes, 2012, don't hold back. And I was like, well, alrighty then. And so I had a threesome with them. A lot of it was very awkward. But at one point, the male left the room. And then, like, her and I just, like, really went at it. We were like, well, thank God he's gone. And then when he came back in, it was, like, almost like, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
like, he left the room for a while and he came back. And I think he kind of expected us to, like, wait for him or, like, and we were just, like, into it.
Yeah. Take a hint, man.
Yeah.
Walk back out.
Eventually, they broke up.
Yeah, they were dating a long time.
Yeah. He was a very close friend of mine. He's still a very close friend of mine. But they broke up, and I was just, like, stuck on her. And I would see her out at all different types of things. And there was quite a few times that we ended up hooking up. And
yeah,
we were hooking up so much. At one point, I was hoping that we were going to date, and, like, I would, like, ask her to the movies or, like, would you like to go to dinner? Or, like, let me take you on a date. And I remember one time I was fingering her outside a bar.
As
oh,
one
Chicago.
Does.
Oh, Chicago. I was in actually, but like in one of the, it was in front of a chicken restaurant by the bar, like in one of those like little tent things so that the wind doesn't come through the door.
Whoa. So it wasn't even an alleyway?
Nope. Yeah, we were in the like chicken in the tent entrance. By the bar.
Wow. The entrance are people, the most heavily trafficked area.
Like,
of the
you have no
place.
Choice but to walk through it as a patron, that one?
Yeah.
So, I admire boldness. All right, continue.
I think for like the millionth time, you know, the millionth time, finger on her sidewalk, I asked, you know, can we go on a date? And she goes, oh, I'm not gay. She was like, I don't like women. I just like you. And I'm like,
ugh.
I'm like, let me check. Yep, two titties. pussy. Okay, yeah. And I I really wanted that, and eventually just had to be like, I have to stop doing this because she's coming and I'm getting my feelings hurt.
Yeah. So to answer your question, since I know her, I'm like, she's pretty femme.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the movie Election when, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. When she's like, but I love you. And she's like, I'm not like you. I'm not gay, even though they were like sleeping together the whole time.
Yeah.
Ugh, what a heartbreak. And then after that, you dated a couple more mask.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say that they were either or.
Yeah.
And then Jake, who you know.
Yeah. Yes. Jake has been on the podcast under a different name.
Talking about top surgery.
Yeah. Friend of the podcast.
Love
them.
Jake.
Still, yes, Jake is great.
I'm glad to know this information because I do keep a mental chart of all our guests who have had relations together, and the web keeps growing thicker
our
and
chart.
Thicker. It is. It's better than the L word chart, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Yeah. Yeah. So Jake, and then somebody else who tour manages for Sir Baby Girl, who is a past guest.
Flynn Hannon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Allie dated Flynn. We're all connected.
Everyone's connected.
It's like I dated girls and stuff, but Jake and Flynn are the ones that ripped my heart out.
So is that the main difference between dating femme,
I think,
queers,
Melody,
and mask queers? Is that the masks rip your heart out? And the femmes are like, forget it.
Testosterone.
Yeah. At the time I dated each of them, they identified as female.
Okay.
Which, like, my favorite thing in the whole world is titties. Man.
Melody, yeah, she's winking at me because I have them.
Whoa.
It did come up in the episode.
Yeah.
episode.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I just ask her to hit me in the face with them. Just cheer. It cheers me right up.
All right. Family.
Give me a little smack, babe. I know you're trying to make some coffee. Can I get a good, quick tit smack? Don't get horny over there.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I need a safe word for this conference.
I think Melly's been the first feminine person that I've been with that
acknowledged.
Acknowledged that we're together, yes. Yeah. But that, like, I've been, like, in love with.
So when you were with Flynn and Jake and then they were transitioning
they were not transitioning during
okay, so that didn't happen while you were together.
Mm-mm.
Both of them, right? We're
still both of them
lesbian, probably.
Yeah, we're she her when
at the time.
Yes. And it's interesting because it was apparent during sex and stuff that they weren't comfortable with
that they had some dysphoria around
their chest. With their breasts, and I'm like, I want my face in there.
Knowing her obsession with boobs, I'm just like, God, poor Jake.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But with Flynn, and this is just so funny because I don't know if you listen to this, Flynn, but if you do, hey.
Hi, Flynn.
Hey, Flynn.
It was great meeting you.
I like that story.
So when Flynn and I dated, Flynn was 22, 23, and I was 27, turning 28. And I mean, to me, it felt like we were getting really serious. We talked every day. We were, you know, staying in each other's places all the time. You know, if we were out in public, we were holding hands, we were kissing, things were going so well. And I just wanted, like, any day now, any day, they're going to ask me to be official. Like, I was just waiting for that, like, we are official. I'm in sixth grade. I don't know why that was so. It is, though. It is. It's still important to me.
Yeah.
But one night they're like, we need to talk. And I'm like, this is it. Like, I was so excited. I was like, this is it. This
oh,
is,
no.
This is the, it's official. We've been seeing each other for 3 months. And they informed me that they are in an open relationship. And they have a girlfriend who's been in England. And we'll be returning soon. They still want to see me.
This is very much like Marina.
Yep.
And Jenny.
Totally.
And that Italian prima ballerina or whatever.
And there's always like part of me, I mean, kind of my whole life, I felt like I'm not hip, I'm not cool. I still think I say that at least once a week.
Yeah, you do.
And I was like, okay, I was like, I just need to be cool. Like, I'm older and I'm Southern. Like, I need to be hip and I need to, like, get with this. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, yeah, okay. Well, actually, first I left. I went to an open mic down the street, got drunk, and then came back and was like, I'm fine with it. But I was not fine with it. And they came to my 28th birthday, but I'm thinking, like, this is my person, and only stayed for, like, 30 minutes. And I spent the rest of the evening, locked myself in the bathroom, sat on the toilet, and scream cried. Yeah, I was very, very heartbroken. And I really tried, and I tried, like, when their girlfriend got back to be, like, okay.
Yeah.
With them seeing both of us.
Yeah.
And it just hurt. It just hurt really bad, and I couldn't. Yeah. But Flynn reached out to me last week, and so funny, was like, I had to share this with you. And it was that they had been dating someone who, after kissing and going on a date, that later on they informed them that they were in an open relationship.
Oh, and shoes on the other foot.
Yeah, and it's so funny because Flynn is now the same age
that you
as
were.
I am.
Okay.
And the person that they were dating was yeah. the same age that Flynn
that
was.
Was.
Flynn was just like, I just had to tell you about this. And I am so sorry that I was such an asshole
oh,
6 years ago.
Oh, man.
And, you know, like, I didn't even, like, I've gotten over it. And I like Flynn. Like, we follow each other on
sure.
all social media. Never want anything bad for them. But I was like, I kind of needed that apology. And it really
yeah.
meant a lot to me. So thank you, Flynn. Yeah. And but it also like really made me, it just made me laugh. So I was just on my couch just laughing so hard. And Flynn was just like, so I just want to let you know that karmically I've gotten what I deserved.
Yeah. You hear that? You heartbreaking Susans. It's never too late to yeah. apologize.
You have to know that queer people don't have a lot of feelings and hold on to them.
Yeah,
but
for
it was
sure.
also cool, and like Flynn was hurt.
It was
said
cool
to
that
me, like
Flynn got hurt.
Flynn, yeah. Flynn said to me, like, I got this message, and I thought, what kind of asshole would do this to somebody? And then I realized, oh, me 6 years ago.
Wow.
And
yeah, I could tell Allie's been holding on to some like negative feelings, even though you guys still like follow each other and like check in here or there, because Flynn had reached out actually and was in New York with Sir Baby Girl and
yeah.
was like, hey, do you and your girlfriend want to come to Dyking Out? It's this podcast that's having a live show. And she's like, oh yeah, Melody's there.
yeah.
And then she told me the next day and I was like, oh, I would have loved to. And you were just kind of like, really? Like, just still kind of resistant about hanging out. But I feel like you got closure. This happened like last week.
I mean, I know it was like a very short relationship, but Flynn was the first queer person I ever loved.
Short but significant. You know, I have that too. I had a relationship that was very short. I knew that it wasn't going to be anything permanent, but it was like very significant. And there were a lot of things about it that I held on to for a very long time because it felt unresolved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sticks with you, even though logically I'm like, I shouldn't be thinking about this,
mm-hmm.
but for years after it ended, and I knew it was nothing that had the chance of ever happening again, but it just felt like I needed closure. I don't think things have to be like crazy serious for things to be significant or long term, or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 3 months in gay time is a lot.
That's longer than Lena Waithe's marriage.
Oh.
I went there.
You live there.
Oh, but still invite us. I told you, Flynn, to still invite us whenever y'all come back in town, and we do want to hang out.
We think Sir Baby Girl is so cool. I became such a fan at the Dyking Out Christmas show.
Oh, yeah. We get people who write in about how they like learned about Sir Baby Girl through Dyking Out, and that makes me very happy that now they're fans, because Sir Baby Girl deserves all the fans, and she has a video that's going to be coming out soon-ish.
Right.
That they shot around the time of Deck the Halls for her cheerleader song.
Right.
So keep a lookout for that. I'm sure we'll promote it when it comes out. So back to just, I guess, talking about like dating another femme as a femme in relationships, because we grow up being taught by society that it's like a man and a woman, and the man does these things and the woman does these things. And one of the great things I think about queer relationships in general is that usually those defined roles are thrown in the trash, and that you both share responsibilities or pick like what you like to do and what you're good at. And then that's how you like divide up responsibilities and things within the relationship. That's not always the case in queer relationships, especially I've noticed, at least with like some more mask presenting queer people or butch women, that they do take on this performative masculinity role of like, well, my hair is short, so I am opening the doors and I am getting the drinks and I am walking on the sidewalk closer to the street in case a car splashes you, it shall splash me, you know, that kind of stuff, just because they have short hair. Where it's like, if there's like a bug in the apartment, it's like me and Cecilia being like, you get it. No, you get it. No, you get it.
I get the bugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I set them free.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not afraid of bugs because you lived in the woods.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
We used to count our spider bites in the morning.
You know, after living in the South, I became less freaked out by bugs, definitely, because they are everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. What have your experience has been with that?
I mean, just in general, I'm a caretaker.
Yeah.
I've done comedy and actual caretaking for majority of for my profession for years. And I love making her meals, and I love cooking for her, and I love serving her.
And I love eating them.
Yeah.
But then again, I was recently talking to a friend who asked me if Allie does the cooking, because everyone knows that I don't. And I said, of course she does. But then I actually realized Allie does a lot of the mounting, a lot of the hammering. She has a toolbox she loves more than maybe her makeup bag, like still as a femme. But it just made me realize that she takes on all the roles. Then I bring nothing. My friends called me the dude in the I know we're not supposed to. Who's the man? But like, right. I can just seem like the dude in the relationship.
Well, like even, the whole dude in the relationship. I'm so glad that in none of my relationships, I've never felt like there's been a dude, which works for me being a femme for femme, is that there's never been one who's like definitely more the dude. Though I did say sometimes I would think like maybe my ex was because she couldn't communicate, but that's mean.
I can communicate.
Yeah, we've been doing really good this week. We've had a
so
great week.
Good this week, you guys.
Communication, yes. An A+, very important.
Oh my God.
My wife and I too. I think this is a good week for lesbian communication.
Yeah.
We've been really
pushing each other to be better, really supporting each other. It's very hard sometimes, us both being comedians. You know, there is like some jealousy and stuff happening. And I feel like this week, I've been very grateful how you've pushed me and I cried yesterday. I just came over and cried and told her I loved her because she's just been so supportive and it just really meant a lot to me.
Making breakfast and Allie walked over to me to cry about how supportive I was the day before.
Yeah.
And then I was like, give me my hammer.
I'm going to mount a beautiful painting of you.
And that's it. For me, it's like, it's not that you don't do anything. For me, that's part of like my love language. Like,
right.
I like to mount something on the wall, then you're happy with it. It makes me feel great.
And I'm I can be very femme. Yeah. I am no dude. I have a monotone voice, no.
My mom once said something when I was talking about, you know, when Cecilia and I have kids, you know, I just know it's going to completely take over my life and affect my ability to do all the creative pursuits that I do. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, you know, you could be more like the dad.
Who said this?
My mom.
Oh Lord.
I like, what a terrible thing to imply, one. Two, like the world is changing and dads are hopefully a lot more hands-on now. Like I know more dads who are like stay-at-home dads, yeah, and like take on that caretaker role and, you know, do like the cooking and things like that. But yeah, implying that it's okay for me to be like the dad and that I can just be like a little bit more absent,
right,
while my wife takes, I'm like, you are missing the beauty of the lesbian relationship.
Yeah, that is the whole point.
Yeah. That we are equals in this and sharing the responsibilities. And you know, my friends who live out in Berkeley, shout out to Tanya and Andrea, I love watching them parent, and that's a really creepy thing to say, but it's so inspiring. And it's like the two of them are just nailing it. They have this awesome little boy who's just like so adorable, and it's like they anticipate like what they need to be doing. I don't know. It's like a beautiful dance.
Yeah.
I've never seen parenting like executed like that. And I know I'm not seeing like all the moments, and being a parent is like super hard and stressful and whatever. But I look at that and I'm like, yeah, lesbians.
Yeah, Tibet. Like,
yeah.
A lot of Allie's family over the holidays did ask us which one would be the dad, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my sister still is like, well, which one's the man? And I'm like, yeah, that's not. And she's like, do you both lick it? And I'm like, this is too much for a Sunday night chat.
To be fair, she still calls me Melanie, too. So she's got a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to work on that one.
But my brother did offer us his sperm at Christmas. So.
Oh, well, how do you feel about that?
Out of nowhere.
We've never mentioned that to him before. Like,
well, he's got the urge to spread his seed, it sounds like.
Yeah, and he was just like, I've been doing a lot of thinking and I've talked to my friends about it. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I'll give you my sperm. We didn't ask for it.
Allie goes, well, we kind of talked about it and we're not so sure we want any from this family.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of mental illness in my family.
Addiction.
A lot of addiction issues. And he was so offended. He was like, are you fucking kidding me, man? Which he has two doctorates. He's like, I'm a fucking doctor. I'm a fucking genius.
And he's a primatologist.
I'm like, well, talk about it. I don't know. Quit
Wait,
pushing
what's
your
that?
Sperm on me.
He is the male Jane Goodall.
He's a monkey.
He goes
doctor.
To Vietnam and to Africa and studies the microbiomes of primates.
Okay.
Proud of you, babe.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's not the doctor I had in mind. I just thought, like, okay. That's interesting. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll consider the sperm.
Yeah, you got to make the next Jane Goodall.
We just joked back that he owes her thousands of dollars. And we're like, that doesn't cancel it out. We know it is kind of that expensive, but you still got to pay Allie back.
Yeah, you got to still pay me for giving you a car.
That is a thing, though, that a lot of people do is get the sperm from their brother and then have their partners carry that. If I had a brother, I would probably, I don't know.
I know. I don't have a brother.
It depends on the brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were, because Allie really wants, she's like, well, if you got a sperm donor, I'd really feel comfortable with a Persian sperm donor.
If I cared to be, I'd want a Persian sperm donor.
So I started looking at my cousins.
Yeah, we just like stalk her cousins on Instagram. What about this cousin?
And so I was like, oh, wait, no, I would then first have to come out to him formally. Nope, let's not do that.
Yeah.
I'm not contacting.
I just don't know.
Estranged family.
I want to be a mother.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. I just think that maybe adoption is going to be the best route for us.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I think about it.
Yeah. And I started off not ever considering children. And right now I'm at a we'll see. Looking at me as you're just like, strongly.
That's a good place to be. Safe word.
Yeah. Well, your dad only mentions it weekly.
My dad really wants a granddaughter and he prefers an adopted one. I don't know why. He's like, Chinese is great. Chinese is perfect. I don't know. He just really wants something cute to play with. He tried getting a cat even though he's allergic, so they had to send it back.
He
really wants to play.
Let's not compare our baby to the cat.
Okay. A lot of my friends do get offended that I compare their babies to my cat.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which I just went and we went and met all her friends and I played with all the babies and they did say I was the most maternal person they've ever met.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe my wife too. Well, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't say the most maternal person I've ever met, but like so good with kids and just like kids like love her back. Like I have no problem saying that she's the favorite aunt.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
I'm raising the roof.
Yeah.
For those that grants.
Like, I want my nephews to love me and think I'm cool and fun, but I'm like, oh, I can't even compete with what she's bringing to the table. She is so good at playing with kids. It is banana cakes.
I mean, but like, if I'm at an event and there's adults and children, I prefer to be with the children.
Yes. Yeah. That's her too.
Like, nice to meet you. I'll take your baby now.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friends loved her. She was asking them if she could take them to put them down for a nap. And they're like, so we can continue drinking wine and gossiping? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the, like, having two femme women with the baby stuff, it's definitely like, well, I guess we'll take turns, like, carrying it. Though, like, I also know butch women who get pregnant as well. I think butch women getting pregnant is cool and awesome. It feels unexpected because people automatically sort short hair into that's the man one.
Yeah.
As Emma Woolman would say. And say that's the man one. And then if they get pregnant, people are like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. But it's like, no, I mean, if you're a woman who has a uterus.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you happen to be a woman with a uterus, then you can carry a baby and it has nothing to do with the clothes you wear but for some reason there's something that's like kind of radical about that, where it's like if you have two feminine women, people expect like, oh, like either of you could do it.
And yeah. People just pitch us things like, have you thought about carrying an embryo from Allie in your belt? Like, just unsolicited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy that people are surprised by butch women giving birth, because child rearing is the most badass thing in my eyes.
Like, right.
That is punk rock.
Yeah. I just want to hear more about the woods, but I'm going to keep talking about femmes and gender roles and relationships, because I don't know. I guess I've never been in a relationship with somebody who's not femme. I've slept with somebody who isn't femme before, but I can't. Are there actual differences? Like, do we all have some level of performative masculinity?
I mean, I think we both have days where, like, we feel more masculine or more feminine. Sometimes I want to curl my hair and put on lipstick. But I put on makeup for you, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Like, I don't generally...
Yeah, she put it on...
I put on makeup for you guys, too.
Yeah. I don't... It's not a thing that I wear daily.
Yeah.
Yoga pants are my favorite pants. Like...
No, you wear, like... huge baggy sweats. We both are kind of fluid femme. Like, we
same here.
Fluctuate a lot. And then, like, during sex, I feel like we don't even have a designated top or bottom, and we're just switch. And I feel like we're like that with our the way we present, like, masculine. We just both are switching constantly.
Well, because, you know, everything that we talk about being masculine or feminine, it's all social constructs. So even talking about this, it feels weird to be like, when I put makeup on, I'm more feminine.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, well, anybody can wear makeup. Like all the things that we attribute to being like, oh, this is feminine and this is masculine. Like that's only because society constructed it that way. Mm-hmm. And nothing is inherently feminine other than like physical things, like I guess giving birth. But as we know, trans men can give birth, mm-hmm. you know? So like what even is gender?
That's, right.
Has yeah. anyone nailed that down yet? Has anybody cracked that code?
I'm just imagining listeners who are way more evolved than me just like, okay, cool, they got there. Yeah. Wow. Well, they sure have a lot of conditioning to undo.
Right. You know, we're 116 episodes in now, and this is something that I still... like as much as I try to wrap my head around of like, you know, gender is everything and it's nothing and it's had like such an impact on our lives, but it's not real. And like, what's even happening?
Yeah.
If you say gender is a construct and it's not real, but then people are, you know, having surgeries to affirm their gender or their feel, you know, and they mm-hmm. feel like such a strong dysphoria that they need their physical bodies to match what their gender mm-hmm. really is. That tells me that gender like is a mm-hmm. strong and real thing. And then,
right.
But then it's just different for everybody. And
yeah. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
About being in a femme for femme relationship?
Please do.
Well,
Please ground me.
My one gripe is that she won't stop taking my clothes.
And, that is a big problem. Yes.
Like it'll kind of get to the point where I need to, cause I grew up with a little sister who like, I have a lot of, like similar, that brings up a lot of similar feelings. And like, yeah. sometimes I'll lash out like as if I'm like screaming at my little sister.
Yeah. Well, overall, you suck at sharing.
Oh, so this is a me thing.
Yes.
Great.
Anything.
I like to say that my wife did the gay Marie Kondo method where she got rid of everything that didn't bring her joy and then started wearing all my clothes.
Yeah, uh-huh. Allie did that.
Yeah,
I did that too.
She fully Marie Kondo'd everything and now lives in my clothing.
Yeah, yeah. Cecilia was like, oh, I don't, I'm like, are you sure you want to get rid of all that stuff? She's like, yeah, I don't need it. I'm happy with this. And then every day she's wearing my clothing and then I go to wear it and I'm like, oh, you sweat in this.
Yeah, yeah. It's do. Like you
I'm
just want to wear
it. And I smell.
And yeah. it'll be dirty. That's all.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
All the time.
It's not true.
Right now you're wearing literally my favorite necklace I wear all the time that I just forgot to wear today and like seeing it on
would
you,
you
right now.
You can wear it. We have 57 necklaces.
This is my main necklace.
What about the hoop earring of mine you lost recently?
Okay. Touché. Do you guys wear each other's underwear?
Sometimes. Allie just gave me a bunch of her underwear because her butt's so big that it won't fit on her anymore. Yeah. And that is okay with me. I like the butt. Yeah, we wear each other's underwear. But Allie, yeah, so I like instructed her to wear my lingerie recently. Mm-hmm. I was like, just let's spice it up.
Family.
And just picked out an outfit
different
for
in
her.
That. I'm not really into lingerie. I'm like... I like naked. Like,
yeah.
That's my favorite.
Naked.
Yeah. It's an unnecessary step between me and naked.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cecilia will wear my underwear because she runs out of underwear. And then I'm like, well, now I'm going to run out of underwear faster. And my whole strategy of owning way too many pairs of underwear.
That's me.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
to not run out of them. Another femme for femme thing, too, with the sharing is the makeup.
I was just going to get to that.
Yeah.
I'll we have different to... skin tones, though, but the eyeshadows.
Thank
yeah,
God.
The eye stuff. My wife leaves for work, and then I'll have to text her and be like, where's the eyeliner?
Yeah.
And she'll be like, oops, I took it with me. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Do you hear that? As soon as I said we have different skin tones, and but we share, she said, well, thank God. See how bad she is at sharing?
I just want... That would be the one appeal. No, not the one appealing thing about dating a masked person, but
that you
just
don't have
like
to share?
You have your no. That's not even like I don't want to share. It's
they
like I
want
to feel like I can come out and wow you with a look or something and you like really appreciate it and not have a first thought be like, oh, I'm gonna take that shirt, you know? Like, does that make sense?
You're very worried about your stuff.
Yeah,
I grew up with, I really think it's growing up with, my sister's a year and a half younger than me. All my stuff was constantly being taken and hidden and she would lie about it. And I think I just have a lot of that still. But my main thing is skincare over makeup. Like, I'm weirdly obsessed. Yeah. I worked at Dr. Dennis Gross Skincare and like ever since then have just been like really into skincare. Allie goes on the road and will take a lot of things, and that's sure. with makeup and with like moisturizers, and that's when I'll get a little annoyed.
I just want to send you a picture later of how much we have.
Yes. We'll put it on our Patreon.
Yeah.
Special content.
Also, we do the Ipsy thing, so we have all this makeup and there's like a bin of lipsticks and stuff, and like I'll go like through it and like find something cute and like wear it and be like, babe, what do you think about this? She'll be like, which one is that? And every single time she'll be like, well, I wanted to wear that one, and I'm like, what? You didn't even know it was in there.
Yeah.
The thesis is I'm the worst.
You the best, babe.
Thanks. Do you guys ever match? Like,
oh, I love to match.
Allie loves matching. I hate it so much.
I feel like if Cecilia could, she would have us have like very complimentary, but no, like kind of close.
Like Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Ashley,
like,
yeah, that level.
The
that
corresponding is, colors. And
yes.
Yeah,
and yeah. I have no interest in that. Like, I don't want to wear the same shoes as her, you know, anything like that, or the same stuff. I'm like, no. We can't both show up to this dinner wearing button-ups. Are you kidding
yeah.
me? I know that that is a lesbian problem across the board. Yeah. That is not button-ups are for all expressions of every gender or absence of gender.
Unless you're a big booby Les and I can't pull them off, so Allie gets the button down.
That's true.
I do have to safety pin them. But yeah. Yeah, Allie, I remember recently I did match you because like we had been fighting or like you had been down. I know she loves it so much. I'm like, all right.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing.
We can match.
That's the cutest thing.
We went to the movies and matched wearing like army jackets and like the same jeans and
today I took a picture of us on the train because we were both wearing Carhartt hats.
That's so cute.
And Allie is wearing my jeans right now.
Yeah.
And my necklace.
And your socks. Didn't notice that, did you?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I think we need to get to our listener question, which has to do not with being femme, but with being butch and gets into assumptions that people make about gender and how you present yourself. So this kind of ties in, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I work in a warehouse where majority of the people I deal with are male. I'm openly gay and present as a soft butch, but most of my interactions with coworkers is a good amount of shit talking, which I do enjoy when done tastefully. Today, I left home late, wore my hair down. I normally wear it tied back with a dad hat. Nice. And one of the delivery guys commented on my appearance saying, quote, hey, you're getting pretty. I like your hair. Then in a quieter tone, asked if I'd like to suck it. In quotes.
No.
Rage level 10 right now. I'm not usually the type of girl who cis men are attracted to, so I do believe this comment was intended to be a joke. However, I was caught off guard and feel like I wasn't quick enough with a proper response. All I could get out was a stern face and a, hey, bro, I'm a fucking sake right now. Ask me one more time and see what happens. I continued with, don't you know I'm fucking gay? And he came back with the god-awful quote, hey, people change. Although this response got my point across, I feel there could have been a more intelligent way of responding to this. What do you think? Also, is there any point in even saying anything to the guy about it next time I see him? Well, we are all seething.
Yeah. Let me cool off. Sweating.
I'm going to answer a few things. One, do not be hard on yourself for how you reacted and what you said, what you did in the moment. That was what you could do. It's so hard when we get faced with things like this to have like the perfect comeback in the moment. And we always want to beat ourselves up thinking like, oh, I should have said something else. Like, you did what you could in that moment. And that's all you can ask of yourself. To say that he was kidding or assume he was kidding is wrong. When guys say these things, they'll always say it maybe in a joking tone so that when things go wrong, it protects them. They say it was a joke. I know of a...
And then you're too sensitive.
And you're too sensitive, or you can't take a joke. It's their way to shame you. It's a trap. There was this comedy producer in New York who used to say, hey, let's go to a hotel room to like multiple comics. Like, let's go to a hotel room and you can give me a blowjob.
Louis C.K.? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
When the women would say no or say, hey, you're married. He would say, I'm kidding. Can't you just take a joke? And then those women would no longer be booked on his shows. Mm-hmm. And what a hilarious joke. This guy watches comedy all the time. And to him, the height of comedy is suggesting that a woman go back with him and perform oral sex on him. So it's not a joke.
For a joke, it needs a setup and a punchline.
That's what I was going to say. If someone ever says it's a joke, be like, can you point out the punchline? Like, do you know like the structure of a joke? Just get technical.
They don't like that. Now, your response was good to be... you know, resolute of like, I'm not interested in this, obviously. The complicated thing here is it sounds like, based on the other information you provided, that he doesn't actually work for your company. So there's no HR that you can report him to, that he's a outside delivery person that you occasionally interact with. So if he sees you again, you know, you do what's comfortable for you. If you're on friendly terms with him, I think maybe, and you feel like you're up to it, let him know and educate him a little bit and say like, hey, you know, what you said the other day really sucked because it made me feel bad. It made me feel like you can be honest. And I think that sometimes guys don't get it until
you are really like sincerely, have to break it down.
Yeah. If you get sincere and say, hey, you really like hurt my feelings and XYZ, like these are the reasons why that's wrong. I used to work for Ryder Truck Rentals a summer between college years. And I get it. I've worked in jobs too, where it's like a lot of taking the piss out of each other and then it goes too far. And then you blame yourself and you're like, this is my fault because I participated in the shit talking and now I'm in the middle of something that's like very uncomfortable and I got myself here because and that's not true. You should be able to, you know, talk and make comments as long as like nobody's being harassed. And what this guy did was like clearly sexual harassment.
Right.
Yeah.
If she thinks the relationship is worth, you know, salvaging, because you were kind of on a jokey, familiar kind of term, then I would break it down. If not, I don't know.
I think you can even say that. Like, if it is that, I can say, you know, like, I really enjoy seeing you. I like talking to you. I like you. And what you did disappointed me.
Oh, yeah. People don't like disappointing.
Use the word
people.
Disappointed. Yeah. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
If he's not somebody that you want to talk with and you feel uncomfortable, that's totally fine too. And avoid him. And maybe you have, maybe there's a way to avoid him. Maybe there's like another coworker that can take over when they come around, or maybe just be cold to him and then he'll get the message.
Yeah. Even if he's not anything to do with him, is not a part of your HR department, you still have the right to say, hey, there's a delivery guy. I need someone else to do it.
For sure. Yeah. I've had definitely situations where dealing with clients who were creepy with some of my coworkers, and I was happy to remove my coworker from the situation and step in and be more of that middle person, knowing that I probably wouldn't get the same level of creeped on because I have a tendency to make men's balls kind of shrink back up inside of them.
Like just superpower.
Yeah. thing I miss most about working in an office is scaring men.
Oh, yeah. Me too, actually. Work remote now.
Yeah. It's nice to see their confidence shaken. Okay. Good luck with that. Very sorry that you went through that. That sounds like a miserable thing to deal with at work. But thank you for writing in. And if you have any questions, you can send them to us, dykingout@gmail.com, and we'll answer them for you on this. And if you are a patron on Patreon or a member on Himalaya, you can let us know in the subject line, as this listener did, and you make it to the top of the line.
Nice.
Of all our questions. So many questions. So many great questions. Thank you for sending them in. Allie, where can people see you perform? Where can they find you on social media, follow you, play family with you? Just kidding. You're taken. You're taken. Send you nudes. of their boobs. You're going to get some boob pics.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'll allow it, guys.
All right.
I'm very little.
You heard it.
I'm very little.
Slide into those DMs. With these.
She will turn bright red. I'll watch that.
I'm already red.
Yeah.
Instagram, Twitter, at A Country Clayton.
Love it.
If anybody listening goes to Eastern Oregon University, I'll be there at the end of this month, and I'll be at Caroline's on February 15th.
Melody, where can people find you on social media if they're not following you already, which I'm sure they are?
Wow. If you're not following me already for masturbation, you can find me at Melody Kamali on all social platforms. Also, can I plug a feature film I worked on that is out now? That is super gay.
Yes.
It's called Two in the Bush.
Oh.
And it is a modern queer rom-com. I'm just so excited. It's finally out and distributed by Comedy Dynamics. You can find it on iTunes and on Amazon, any streaming service, I believe, right now, and give it a good review.
Awesome. Wow.
The production company I worked at in Chicago, there's like five of us. Laura Madelinsky's the director. She wrote it with her partner. It's a polyamorous queer rom-com. It's cute.
Great. I can't wait to watch that. I'll have to watch that before I watch Girl Trash again.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you want to see where I'm doing comedy, I need to update it, but you can go to cbcomedy.com. And I did mention I'll be coming to Alaska April 1st through 5th. So if you are in Anchorage, mark your calendars. We're going to have a Diking Out recording there. I will release more details soon because they haven't officially announced all of that stuff yet. And follow us on social media at Diking Out everywhere. Go to Instagram, Twitter. We're on Facebook. Like all of that. Leave us positive reviews, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and recommend us on Facebook. It makes a huge difference for other people to be able to find us and dike out with us and talk about masturbating in the woods, which is something that you don't want to keep anyone from, right? So let people discover us the same way we've all discovered ourselves today. Thanks for diking out. Dike out with us again. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.